from the 37th Assembly District. I have on the phone with me this morning for our party line interview, Mark Bourne. Representative Bourne, thanks for joining me today here on WBEV.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Good to be with you.
I appreciate you taking the time. You're a local boy, born and raised here in Beaver Dam anyway, for sure. So the local people know you really well, but with the redistricting that went on, I know you've got some new constituents out in the Waupun area, et cetera. Thought we'd maybe talk a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you were going. I remember specifically when I decided I wanted to go into radio. Is there a moment when you said, the State Assembly is where I want to be? How did Mark Bourne find himself there in the state capitol?
Yeah, well, you were right with both born and raised here.
Okay.
Born at the old Lutheran Hospital that doesn't exist anymore. Raised here, and other than spending a few years going to college in Minnesota, I guess haven't left. Still happy to be here in Beaver Dam. And as far as how I got here, I think it just became an area of interest in my youth. It was something that I remember back in second grade, I think it was, voting in the weekly reader thing for president with Ronald Reagan running against Walter Mondale. And I remember talking about that at home, and that was kind of an exciting thing. That's the first real election thing that I remember. And as I got into high school, I got more interested in it. I had teachers that were, good at debating the issues and getting me more interested, connecting me with some local campaigns so I could work as a volunteer. I volunteered for my first campaign when I was 16 years old for Bob Getch, who was the assembly rep in the same seat that I hold now. And, just was always interested and always volunteered for a campaign every 2 years. And never really thought of running for state assembly myself, but I ran for city council and did a couple terms of that. But I was working at the sheriff's department and just interested in politics and local government and getting good folks elected on a local level. And then when Jeff Fitzgerald, who had this assembly seat before me, decided to run for U.S. Senate, he called me, and I assumed he was calling to ask me to help with his campaign, but he was actually calling to suggest that I think about running for this seat. And that's really the first time where it kind of made me think, oh, maybe I should try this, and talk to my wife and my family a little bit about it, and decided to give it a try. And here we are now in my seventh term.
So you had a moment as well. Yours was a phone call. Mine actually was a radio commercial for a broadcasting school. But I guess we both had those special moments. Again, on the phone with me on Party Line this morning, State Representative Mark Bourne. Now that you've been in the assembly for several years, is it what you've expected? What's the best part of your job? What surprises you? Tell me a little about how you enjoy what you do down there in the state capitol.
I think the best part is when you can help solve a problem, and there's more opportunity for that than maybe I realized when I first got into it. You kind of think, well, you go down there, you make the laws, you figure stuff out, but there's a lot of interaction that folks have with government, whether it be in their homes or in their businesses or their nonprofits, whatever the case might be, where sometimes things don't work quite like they should. And so oftentimes people get frustrated by that and spend a lot of time getting nowhere and thinking that they can't work with government or figure it out. But what they really need to do is contact their local representatives so that we can try to help them navigate that. And when they do, we've been able to find that, not always, but way more than I thought, we can find a resolution that works for folks. And that's great. When I first started learning that my first term, I thought, wow, there's all these problems with these state agencies. But really, it's more of a problem where your issue just doesn't line up exactly with how the bureaucracy normally handles it, and they don't know how to handle you. And so once you start talking to the leader, to the secretary, and say, hey, what my constituent's trying to do here with the DNR or with the DOT or whatever it is, isn't really out of line or wrong. It's just not exactly what you guys are used to. And so your staff can't figure it out, but I think if we just tweak this a little bit, everybody could be happy. And usually that's the case once you talk through it. And so that's been certainly one of the better parts of the job. I know it's frustrating for folks that it has to go through all that, but when you can get that resolution and get whatever you were trying to accomplish at your home or your family or your organization completed and finished to satisfactory way, that's great. And that's something that I like to talk about, because I think sometimes folks don't realize, you know, I get a lot of folks still that will call and like, we've been fighting with the DOT for a year and a half. And it's like, well, why didn't you call me 15 months ago? Okay. You know, and so we could have tried to figure this out, but they just don't realize it. And, or they think they're asking for something special or something, and really they're not. They're just asking for people to talk it through and figure it out. And that's usually what it is 9 times out of 10. And they just need someone to help them navigate that bureaucracy. And that's what, you know, that's one of the things that my office is there for, is to help you with state government.
Mark Bourne on the phone with me on Party Line here on WBEV. As co-chair of the Finance Committee, how does that change who you are and what you do, your responsibilities, your schedule? How does that role sort of put you in a little bit of a different place, have a little different agenda than some of your colleagues there at the Assembly?
Sure. Well, right now, because we're right in the heart of legislative, crafting the legislative budget, it's definitely a different workload than the average legislator. The members of the committee, because on behalf of the legislature, we're working on the great, on the details of crafting the budget and meeting the goals of the Republican Assembly Caucus, who's in the majority control of the Assembly. So definitely the amount of hours I'm putting in is a clear difference on stuff like that. But in some ways it isn't any different either. It's because at the end of the day, the legislative process is still one legislator, one vote. You can't do anything by yourself. You got to build a consensus. You got to get at least 50 votes to pass something. Now, am I in a little bit better position to try to gather those 50 votes because of all of that work and knowing all the details and knowing the ins and outs of the state budget, so that, you know, I've done more of the research and can explain things better to folks? Sure. I mean, that's definitely part of it. And that's how you do the work and rise to one of those leadership positions and show people that they can count on you to do the work and trust you to know what's going on and provide the best information for the caucus when it comes to finance matters. So there is a little bit of a difference there. But at the end of the day, the legislative process is still the legislative process, and you can't do anything by yourself. So all of us are one of 99 assembly reps that come there to represent 60,000 people. And even in a leadership position, I still got to convince at least 49 others of those 99 folks that my idea is the right idea, and we should vote for it and make it happen in either a law or part of the state budget or whatever the case might be.
Mark Bourne, the 37th Assembly District Representative, on Party Line with me today. You're regularly on our community comment program during the week, Representative Bourne. I know the last time you were on a few weeks ago, you were set to travel around the state and listen to constituents besides those just in the 37th District. What have you been hearing? What is the feedback that Wisconsin residents have been given to you and the other legislators about the budget?
Yeah, we just wrapped up earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday, our road show, as we finally call it, where the Budget Committee goes out and does public hearings around the state. We went to 4 different places around the state in the month of April. Heard from folks. There's always some constant themes, both through these 4 hearings as well as through budget year to budget year. Some of them I don't think will surprise folks. We hear a lot about education. You know, that's always a priority. That's not any different in my district than it is in these statewide hearings. We hear some about roads, local roads, bridges. We hear about health care or Medicaid, the government welfare health insurance program, and what folks appreciate or need about that. Those are some of the big areas. We heard some about child care. We heard some about natural resources and water. And then when we get into different regions, you either hear more about some of those things in a higher scale. Like in Milwaukee, we probably heard more about the welfare programs than we did in the rest of the state, but we heard a lot about them everywhere. When we were in the Northwoods, we heard a little bit more about forestry and the environment. When we were in the Northeast, we heard a little bit more about the Green Bay prison, because that's a real hot topic up there, where they'd really like to close that old prison. So that was where we heard some about corrections, but didn't really hear about it much in the rest of the state, because it's not a top issue in those other regions. So you get a good variety of the things you expect to hear, and then a little bit of a regional spice to things that makes it interesting. And then once in a while you hear not necessarily a new topic that you've never heard of, but things that you don't really hear at the hearings. Like at the last hearing in Wausau, one of the last speakers wanted to talk about robotics. And it's something I'm familiar with because the local high school team has met with me about the importance of their program and why they believe that it's a important part of their education. And so it's not something that we haven't heard of, but it's not something that we hear a lot about at those public hearings. It's kind of a nuanced thing where if you're involved in it, you're aware of it. But in Wausau, someone that was involved in it thought it was important enough to show up and wait all day. It's a long day. We're there all day. We started at 10 in the morning. We got done, I think, about 6:45 in the evening. And they were one of the last speakers that had spent most of the day with us waiting to get their turn. And so I always think that's, I guess that's one of the things that gets your attention, because as you're listening throughout the day and you're kind of, you can kind of keep a tally sheet, right? There's another education one, check. And it was like, wow, it's 6-something at night and I'm writing down a new topic that we haven't heard yet today. And so that's always kind of fun.
Before we went on the air, I mentioned to Representative Bourne that he had a great voice for radio, and you also are a great interviewee. I was going to ask you, were there any surprising comments? And you took me right there. I didn't even have to ask you. That was wonderful. As far as hearing the same ag issues, the prison issues, the education issues, is the fact that the state's coffers are fuller than is often the case when the legislature needs to put together a biennial budget. Has that changed the way you have to deal with issues? How is the fact that we actually are pretty flush with some cash down in Madison, how's that changed things for the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, it's great to bring that up, because that's one of the things that's actually making this budget the most difficult and the most confusing for folks, because there's been a lot of coverage of the surplus, which is absolutely true. We are running a surplus of about $4.3 billion, which is a lot of money. But what that surplus really is like a savings account or like a general fund for a city or school district, and which is great to have. It's better than being broke. But it's really then one-time money if it's your savings account. You don't want to build a budget that requires future payments on something that's not recurring money, that's not new, growing money. And so while we can do some great things with that, infrastructure, for example, will be a really good use for that, and we'll try to do some more roads and bridges with it. You know, we can't give employee raises, we can't fund new programs with it and expect to carry that into the future without massive problems of deficits and holes that we have to fill and just not sound budgeting. So that's confusing a lot of folks, because people like to get up there and say, you know, you've got money, give it to this. Well, okay, but we have to sustain this, right? You don't want this just to be whatever this is that you're passionate about to just be funded for 1 or 2 years, right? You want it to be generally funded in the future, unless it's a specific infrastructure project or something like that. You don't want your healthcare support or your education system to only be funded for 1 or 2 years and then the money to disappear. That's not a good way to go about it. And so that's created a lot of confusion for folks. And the state also has ongoing revenue. Like, we're not broke. We're in a good financial position. But our ongoing revenue right now is a little less than $2 billion. And again, a lot of money, right? Especially for folks that aren't used to dealing with this size of money. $2 billion is a lot of money. But inflation's been rough on everybody, families, businesses, local governments, and state governments no different. And so when we look at our cost to continue, which is just the cost to maintain current government services the way people are used to, we're well over that $2 billion of new revenue. We're about pushing $2.5 billion of expenses and just cost to continue. One of the key parts of that is the Medicaid program that I mentioned, which is the health care welfare program that's mandated by the federal government, controlled by the federal government, but only partially funded by the federal government. And our cost to continue on that as a state alone is $1.5 billion. So almost all of the new money that we're bringing in that we should be building our budget off of is getting sucked up by cost to continue and massive government programs like Medicaid. And so folks are asking for money for all of their things, and it looks like we have money, and we do, but there's this difference between the savings account and the actual checking account with the ongoing revenue, and try and balance the budget and make it all work. And it's super confusing for folks, and I understand it. There's a lot. I probably threw a lot out here just in this, you know, however long I've been talking on this question. And it makes it complicated, and it makes people confused about why we just don't fund all of their great ideas. And I know, you know, I had some folks from Beaver Dam that drove up to Wausau to testify at the hearing, and I was chatting with them off to the side later in the day a little bit, and they were like, oh, wow, there's so many people here with so many different needs and reasons why their stuff is important. Like, it's kind of overwhelming when you hear all this. And so while we're talking about a lot of money, it's big numbers, there's a ton of need, there's a ton of challenges, and there really isn't as much money to go around with all of that as people think there is. So it gets complicated, and then it leaves a lot of folks, I think, misunderstanding the process and the reality of where we're at and what's real and what can be accomplished, because we still can accomplish things. We're not broke. We will fund important things in this budget, but we will not fund all of the wishes that folks have, because it's just not realistic.
Oh, I need to take a brief break. Representative Bourne, if you'd like to go refill a cup of coffee, why don't you go and do that? To our listening audience, if there is a particular question you would like me to ask Assemblyman Mark Bourne, our talk and text line is open to you, 920-887-9595. We'll talk a little bit more about the budget or a topic that maybe is of interest to you, our listener, if you want to send that text to us, to our Slumberland Furniture Studios. More with Mark Bourne in just 2.5 minutes on WBEV. I'm getting to ask all the questions I wanted to ask of State Representative Mark Bourne this morning. If I haven't gotten to your question, text it to me right now, 920-887-9595. Before we wrap up the budget, I'll let you take this wherever you would like. Is there an issue that you're predicting is going to be the point where we come to loggerheads? Is there one issue, if there was just, you could do whatever you wanted, didn't have to worry about 49 other members of the assembly, what is your priority? Just highlight a point or two that you think is very significant regarding the budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if there's things that are going to slow us down or cause us problems, it's not going to be a budget issue within the budget this time. It's going to be some outside influences. We've got a lot going on that could impact the budget. There's some lawsuits pending between the legislature and the governor that could play a role. There's the federal uncertainty with all the things that are going on in the federal budget right now. And then there's the economy in general. We're going to get new revenue estimates on around May 15th. That's when we usually get them on what, and that's what we'll build our budget on, is what we expect our revenue to be for the next 2 years. And the last update before the budget should be, you know, finished is May 15th. And I think we might see some downward pressure there because the economy looks like it's starting to slow and things. And so things like that will impact us. And so those outside influences are what I worry about more in this budget than a stalemate with the Senate or even the governor necessarily on a topic. And as far as a priority, I think, you know, there's plenty of stuff in a state budget, so I could pick probably a lot of things. But from a local perspective, I think one of the first things that comes to mind continues to be focusing on those local road and bridge programs. Weather is, the Wisconsin winters are tough on our roads. No matter how much we're spending, it seems like we're always behind. And so I think that'll be another priority.
You mentioned local. Brings me to the question that I wanted to ask. I know in the news earlier this week, you are making a proposal, as I understand it, to change some of the restrictions on tax incremental financing districts. And this has a particular effect on the city of Beaver Dam. Why don't you mention that for our listeners?
Yeah, the bill we're working on is specific to Beaver Dam and Port Washington, both because they're both blessed to have these major developments of these data centers going on in their communities right now. And the bill isn't really about the data center specifically. It's more about the impact that the data center has on growth and TIF law. Because these projects are so huge, and TID law says that you cannot have more than 12% of the value of your community tied up in TIF districts. Well, these projects are so big that in some communities, in Port Washington, it's going to be more than double the size of the community. Even here in Beaver Dam, it has the potential to be a third or better of the size of the value. And so that would mean that they would be locked out from doing other TID developments during the life of that TIF district. And so I'm just creating an exemption in the TIF law that says these data centers are so big they weren't really thought about in the TIF law. Let's just exempt them so that places like Beaver Dam can still do their normal economic development and TIDs. So it'll allow them to continue to do like the residential TID that they're doing right now on Olinger Road. They could do another one of those if they feel it's appropriate. Their industrial TID where is having a lot of success on the north side right now and is almost full with that Generac project that's been completed. You know, they can create another one of those. So it's about not stopping them from continuing to do the good things they've been doing outside of that data center. The data center is one development that's a great opportunity for growth in the city, but they've been doing all these other good development things through TIF districts for a long time.
Representative Bourne, I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you, but I got a couple of texts in, and I want to give these people, they waited till the last minute, but we've only got a couple of minutes. Let me just ask you a couple of quick questions. One says, Mr. Bourne, I cannot name any significant legislation our governor has passed. What are you looking for in 2026? And I think here's the question. Will you support any particular candidate? And please keep it to just a minute or two. We're kind of short on time here. And maybe you just want to duck that one entirely.
No, I think that as far as any candidate, I think that the field is wide open. We only have one announced candidate so far, so it's a little early for that, but certainly hoping for a strong candidate that I'm sure I'll get behind someone as it gets closer. And as far as the governor, I think, yeah, there's been a lot of failed leadership there, and most of it's just been us having to play defense with a lot of bad ideas to grow government and increase taxes. And so hopefully folks next year will see that we should move in a new direction with the governor's office.
Okay, here's another one. Is there any new legislation that you see both sides of the aisle coming together on?
Well, I think the biggest legislation right now is the state budget, and, you know, for three different budgets with Governor Evers, they've ended up being bipartisan and when we come together on them. So I think maybe the most likely one that has the opportunity this time would be the corrections reform. And I know we ran out of time today and didn't have much time to talk about that, but that's certainly important for the Little Pond area and for the state as a whole. And so I think that's the one I'm most hopeful on.
And here's one more, and it's about the corrections area. Now that many maximum Green Bay prisoners are in Fox Lake Correctional, that prison is really maximum. If a prisoner for a minimum, like OWI. Why are they still being held there with such maximum inmates? And this is a big one, and I'm only leaving you a little time to address it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. It would make no sense to me that there would be maximum inmates from Green Bay there, because I know for a fact that places like Green Bay and Portage, which are maximum security prisons, still have medium security inmates in them because there's not enough medium beds to move them to. There's several hundred inmates that are classified that way. So I think it's unlikely that max inmates are being moved. It's mediums that were classified as mediums that were staying in the max prisons for too long because we didn't have the beds, and they've been moved to Fox Lake now, which is the proper place for them. And
gotcha.
That's confusing for folks.
And I will send on the name and the text number of the person who sent that in, and your office can maybe get back and give a better, more detailed answer than we have time for this morning. We're running a little
bit
late. A pleasure speaking with you, State Representative Mark Bourne. Hope that we can do it again down the road some Saturday morning on Party Line.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. That was State Representative Mark Bourne on 95.3 WBEV.